Before we begin today, just two ha'aros from the previous shir. I asked the question about why the Mishnah Brura is worried about pouring hot water onto the sugar, but he's not worried, and presumably I said that was because he's concerned with the fact that since even though the sugar has already been cooked, and it's a solid, but still he's concerned that since the end result is liquid, so that's why he's machmir l'chatchila, and that's why he says better to add the sugar to your kli sheni than to put in the sugar first and pour in hot water. And I said that later on, he doesn't seem to be concerned about that in terms of the pashtida and the like. There might be a molad issue over there, but there's no bishul over there. There we say, since it starts off as a solid, there's no concern. That was the hara. Why in one place? So I think the answer is that the reason why it's machmir for the sugar, or for that matter, the coffee, is not because of bishul b'davar lach. That view he rejects. We go basar tchila, not basar sof. The reason is he thinks that there's mechzi kemevashel, he says. It sounds like because it dissolves. It's not because azlin and basar sof. Some reason or another, he's saying he thinks that since the sugar, or the, let's say in our example, the instant coffee dissolves into the liquid, so that's what makes it into mechzik mevashel. And therefore, that concern doesn't apply to the congealed gravy or fat, where when it heats up, it does end up as a liquid, it melts. But it doesn't, it's not the solid isn't transformed into the liquid. It's interesting that why he's worried about that. If you look, it comes from certain Achronim that he quotes, and they're quoting the Shari Tshuva over there. But that's, I think, the concern. So there's not a stira in the Mishnah Brura. Now, there's a reason why he's machmir rice sugar. It's not because he thinks we should be choshish for the end result, but because since it dissolves into the liquid, that's why he thinks we'll treat it as a liquid, which is a similar sara. Cliche, yeah. Well, anyway, there's less likely to hold. It's a humongous chumra even in Iri Kli Rishon. So we're, he's willing to be makel in a, right? The Pashup shot is in a Kli Rishon mamish, it should be mutter. You're allowed to take sugar and put it into a Kli Rishon. Shalom agabe haish. We're machmir for that. But Havad Lelosif. Anything should be asr in a cliche, and he's already a chiddush. So. Okay, that's just a ha'ara. The second ha'ara is in terms of Yoni's point in Shir from last time about Rabbi Nirucham. I think Yoni is correct. And just to clarify that point, Rabbi Nirucham says, at least as understood by the Beis Yosef, two chidushim. And what Yoni was pointing out is that we accept one and we reject the other. What are the two chidushim of Rabbi Nirucham? Number one is that mitstamik v'yathala was shayach bishul. And that's a chiddush, because the pashup shot, like the Bach asks, is that mitstamik v'yathala is only relevant for gzeira sham yichata. Once something has been fushal called tzarko, it's not shayach to bishul. If you think liquids are, then they are regardless, whether it's mitzvah yavelo or mitzvah yirelo. And if you think it's not, then not. Mitzvah yavelo has nothing to do with whether you're chayiv or not for bishul. That's the pashup shot. That's the only context where it appears in the Gemara. Rabbi Nirucham has this chiddush that no, that mitzvah yavelo is shaykh to bishul also. If it is mitzvah yavelo, there is bishul. But again, in a very interesting way, because if it's a solid, even if the solid happens to be mitzamek v'yavalo, there is no bishul, right? You're allowed to do hachzara, you know, let's say you like your steak or well done. Let's assume that well done is mitzamek v'yavalo, right? So you could do hachzara on your steak, even though it's going to be mitzamek v'yavalo. That's not bishul, but on liquid, it is bishul. So that's the chiddush. We talk about why that is. That's chiddush number one of Rabbi Nirucham. The Rama accepts it. The Mishnah Brura thinks probably is not so into it, right? He quotes it. The Bach argues. He quotes it. The Gra argues. The impression you get from the Mishnah Brura is he doesn't hold the Rabbi Nirucham. And there's a later Mishnah Brura that also indicates that he's so same Deloka Rabbi Nirucham. And in this case, Rabbi Nirucham's a kula, right? Because his kula is that you're allowed, there's no bishul for davar lach when it's mitzamek viralo, right? You could do hachazara if you had some type of liquid, even if it's 100% liquid, that's mitzamek viralo, then you could do hachazara. Or nisin al-chatchila beheter, hachazara if it got cold, nisin al-chatchila, right? In fact, I saw that there are some achronim who say that, as also Yoni pointed out, water is likely mitzamek viralo. So therefore, they say, is the Mishnah Berurah talks about how do you make tea with tea essence. So he says you should put the tea essence into a kli sheni and not do iroy onto the kli essence. Now, don't put, assuming my tea essence is cold. So I have two options. I could put the tea essence into my cup, cold tea essence, and then put it under the urn, or, which would be iroy kli rishon, or I could fill up my cup with hot water and pour in the tea essence. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it depends. If your tea essence is hot, so then actually it's better to do the iroy, right? Let's say you kept your tea essence on the blech, so it's hot tea essence. In Chevron Yeshiva, they had a whole urn with just essence in it, right? So then the better way is to first put in the tea essence, because then there's an opinion, we paskin ein tzaveya ba'ochlin, we'll get to this later, but there is a view that says there is tzaveya ba'ochlin. So therefore, if you put in the essence first and then you dilute it, that's just diluting the essence. But if you put in the water first, then you're coloring the water. So because of that zaitika inyan, if your tea essence is hot, put in your essence first and then the water. But if your tea essence is cold, most people have cold tea essence, so then you should put in the water and then put in the tea essence. Why? Because if you put in the tea essence first, so then you're going to do bishul, because there's iroi kli rishon onto the tea essence, and it's lach, your tea essence is liquid, yesh bishul acharish. There's a Rashba who says you don't have to worry about bishul kadei klipa for liquids, because everything gets mixed up. But as you saw, we don't paskin that way. We'll get there. I don't think so. No. That's
the Rishonim try to say why the Gemara is not a
That's the way the Rashba learns the Gemara. That's not the way Tosas learns the Gemara. Tosas would say it's only when it's overwhelmed. In other words, there is bishul by iroi kli rishon. If you hold bishul that iroi is kemevashel, it's only if you put in a large amount of cold water into a kli rishon, then it gets mixed up. But here, that's not what you're doing with your tea.
And the Rashba also says like that's a rush. You don't accept that, except Tosas.
Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, definitely accept Tosas. So, according to the Rashba, it would be okay for that reason. But according to Reini Yerucham, it should be mutter, again, against the Mishnah Berurah, to pour the hot water from your urn onto your cold tea essence. Why? Because assuming that tea essence, that tea is mitzdamik viralo, like presumably water is mitzdamik viralo, so why can't, it would be better, it would be, there's no bishul, achar bishul, by mitzdamik viralo. So the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do this. And that's probably because the Mishnah Berurah thinks that we reject Rabbi Yerucham. Like we said, he doesn't say Rabbi Yerucham is wrong. He says the Bach doesn't like Rabbi Yerucham, and the Gra doesn't like Rabbi Yerucham. So even if the Ramah passes like Rabbi Yerucham, and the Pashtus, the Mechaber also passes like Rabbi Yerucham. Not over here. In Sif Dalet, the Ramah paskins like Rabbi Yerucham. Later on, the Mechaber is so same like Rabbi Yerucham. But Mishnah Berurah doesn't like Rabbi Yerucham, and therefore you shouldn't do Iroy onto the tea essence. First fill up your mug with the hot water, and then add the tea essence into a cold water. And like we said, we're not worried about Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach in a cliche, right? That's the way. So that's Chiddush number one of Rabbi Yerucham. Chiddush number one of Rabbi Yerucham, which probably we don't paskin like, though again, the Ramah and the Mechaber do, but probably we don't, is that mitstamik, the ralo, lach, there's no bishul. Chiddush number two of Rabbi Yerucham, and they're in the same piece, the same paragraph, is, according to, again, the Beis Yosef's diyuk, is that we follow Rov. And therefore he comes out, lemaisa, if you have a, I don't know, let's say, chicken with gravy, Rove chicken meat gravy. So you're allowed to do hachzara or nesina l'chatchila beheter. Why? Because it's mitzdamik viralo. And we follow Rove in that respect. In other words, we're not choshish for bishul on the miyot. And even though the gravy might be mitzdamik v'yafalo, but since it's rove chicken, and chicken is mitzdamik v'yafalo, so then it's mutter. That's the second chiddush. And we were medayik that second chiddush of Rabbi Yerucham, the Ramah rejects. And why was that? Because the Ramah is choshish for the stringent version of the Rush, who says that even if you have bisar shur, you can't put it into a kli rishon, because there's going to be bishul on the miyat shabo, on the dan, the lachlucha shabo, and the like. If you're like Rabbi Yerucham, we thought you would follow the rove, and it would be mutter. So Ramah accepts half of Rabbi Yerucham and rejects half. That was Yoni's reading, which is probably correct, or might be correct. I was just saying in shir, which might also be correct, I'm not sure, that maybe no, maybe Ramah is only machmir in a case where it's totally raw, but where he would agree to Rabbi Yerucham, where it's been cooked already, but it's a shayla bishul achar bishul. What do I mean to say? That Rabbi Yerucham is only makel to follow rov since the liquid's been cooked and the solid's been cooked. It's just that the solid is mitzdamik v'ralo and the liquid is mitzdamik v'yafalo. So we look at this thing as a whole. And since overall there's going to be a net kilkel and not a net tikkun, it's mutter. And that's because the idea of Rabbi Yerucham might be the only time he says we follow rov is when we're dealing with a shaila of bishalach or bishal b'davar lach. And the idea would be that why is it that you have bishalach or bishal b'lach? The reason why you have bishalach or bishal b'lach is because there is significant tikkun in the davar lach and it's danein and now is being heated. And so the answer is, Rabbi Yerucham's logic might be, at least the way the Ramah understands it, and the mile of this pshat is, it will allow us to say Rama fully accepts Rabbi Yerucham as opposed to accepting half and rejecting half, that when it comes to the shayla of is there bishal achar bishal, so we look, is there a significant tikkun on this object or not? And if on a whole there isn't a significant tikkun because it's rov mitzdamik v'ralo and miyat mitzdamik v'yafalo, so then it's going to be mutter. But in the case of the bishar shur, where there it's not, it's a taroves, not of mitzdamik v'ralo and mitzdamik v'yafalo, but a taroves of mevushal and non-mevushal, right? Uncooked things. So then he wouldn't say, then you're choshish for the miyat, right? And if you learn that way, then conceivably, then you could say the Ramah fully accepts Rabbi Yerucham. It's just Rabbi Yerucham is not saying as big of a chiddush as we thought originally. Right? That's just a ha'ara. As I mentioned, Rav Moshe thinks we don't follow Rabbi Yerucham. And therefore, and Lysa, therefore, I think we are machmir. In other words, we would say that if you want to do hachzara, like I said, on the chicken with the gravy, so if, since the gravy is lach, it would be asar, even though the chicken is the rove. We'll talk about a little later, what about if it's like, it's not just 60% chicken, 40% gravy, but it's 98% chicken, and you know you can't like get all the drops of gravy off. And then I think we are makel, and we'll talk about why that would be, and is that different? That's similar, perhaps, to the famous shaylov. Do you have to worry about drying out your cup for your second cup of tea and coffee? We'll get there, Bezer Zisha. Yes, you had a question? Okay, good. Okay, so those are just the leftovers from last time. I did saw the Shvisas HaShavas try to argue that, remember I said according to Rabbi Yerucham, it should be mutter to do the hot water onto the tea essence. So he thought that didn't make any sense. And he said, Rabbi Yerucham must hold Mayim is mitzdamik v'yafilo. It's not automatic that according to Rabbi Yerucham that would be mutter, but might be. Okay, some Achronim say that. Good. Okay, so now let's get back to what we're going to talk about today. So I think we'll go to Sif Hei, as we did Sif Dalet last time, and we're going to talk about the famous Yerayim. So to appreciate the Reim and the Ravya and their Machlokas, we have to quickly consider two Gemaras, one in Brachos and one in Psachim. And the question is, which one is right? So the Gemara Brachos says that Darash Rav Nachman Mishum Shmuel Shlakos Bevarchan Alein Bar Pi Adama. And Ula says Shehakol. And the Gemara says, this is Talui in the Machlokas Tanaim. There's a debate. Yotzim Bracha Sharui Umevushal De Remeir Reb Yosi Omer Yotzim Bracha Kasharui Avalobim Mevushal. So Reb Yosi says that if you have cooked matzah, you're not Yotze. Right? Your matzah has to be uncooked. So what do we see? That cooking is transformative act. And likewise, if you cook your vegetables, they're going to go from Hadama to Shehakol. So the opinion that says shlakos are shakos like Rabbi Yossi, the opinion that says shlakos are hadamas like Rabbi Meir. Agav, I'll just tell you a great vart. It relates to Shabbos, but when I was in college, I learned with a grandson of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So they had Erev Pesach Shchalios b'Shabbos. So the question is, of course, what do you do for Shalosh Shudis? Can't have chametz anymore. And you can't have matzah. And most people don't hold, like for Shechter, they could have a matzah shir in the afternoon. They learn like the Mishnah Berurah, so you're stuck, right? There's no good way to have Shalosh Shudis. Because you have, you know, you could have it in the morning, but that's questionable. You could have Peiros in the afternoon, but that's questionable. So I asked him, what do the Soloveitchiks do? So he said, Soloveitchiks have cooked matzah. That's exactly right. They take matzah and they cook it. And we pass them like Rabbi Yossi, you're not Yotze with cooked matzah, strites, of course. You're not Yotze with cooked matzah. So memela, there's no problem with eating it on Erev Pesach. Kishmak. So I say, well, why didn't everybody else do it? So I asked him, what does it taste like? So he said, oh, it's awful. It's the worst thing. So that's the answer. Nobody else does. So then, that's another show. Why do Litvaks not do it? So then I had a tremendous insight. So I said, so first glance, it's like, that's like such a silly thing, because why do you have Shalosh Shudis? Shalosh Shudis is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So to eat something that's like disgusting, how could you call it? That's not Oneg Shabbos? So, but then I chapped that they get so much geschmack from this chap of theirs that we're passing like Rav Yossi, and like it's Oneg Shabbos of halachic man. This is delicious. I mean, it doesn't taste good, but the geschmack of like figuring out a way how to have Shalosh Shudis l'chatchila l'chol adeos. And not only that, but l'chol adeos except for the Hasidim, even better. So that this is what could be more geschmack. So it's a different type of Oneg Shabbos. Okay. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara concludes, no, v'lohi, d'kuli alma shlachos mevarchan alein bar pi adama. Why does Rav Yossi say you're not yotze with matzah nefoshel? Because ba'inan tam matzah. And like we just said, doesn't taste like matzah. It's gross. Okay, some people think matzah is gross, but that's a different issue. So, good. So the Gemara's conclusion seems to be what? That everybody agrees that cooking is not a transformative act, generally speaking. But, and that's why the bracha on shlakos is bar pri adama, but it changes the taste. So there's a cost of, as it were, it's an interesting shaila how we know you need tam matzah. It's a big machlokas. But it's a special, unique halacha in terms of hilchos matzah that you're not yotze. The Ritva actually there says that l'kuli alma you need tam matzah. They're only pligi if yesh l'tam matzah. Does matzah v'vushal have tam matzah? The Maram Chalava disagrees in Psachim, whatever it is. Okay. Now, if this is true, so then l'chora, there is no reason to prove from here that that cooking is that yesh bishalach arfia or bishalach artsli. And this is basically the Rav Yehuda's kash on Yireim. Yireim says that we see from the fact that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi that you're not yotze with matzah mevushal, so must be that cooking, even after baking, is a transformative process. And therefore, it should be asur to cook after afia. And seemingly, and this is the Rav Yehuda's kash on Yireim, that this is against the maskana of the Gemara. The Yireim is geshmak for the Avamin of the Gemara, but the maskana of the Gemara is not that way. So what would the Yireim say back? So it could be that the Yireim would say, this is a sugis on eschalfos. There's a Gemara Psachim, doesn't mention anything about Tam Netza. Maybe the simple reason Gemara Psachim is the reason why this is invalid is because it's a transformative act. It's true, the Gemara in Brachos disagrees. But it's a machlokas, and could be that if you look at the Maram Chalav over there, Psachim Emalef, that's the way he learns Ayin Sham. This also is l'chor the view of the Rash in Chala, in the famous Rash, Perk Aleph Mishnah Hay, because without getting into too much details. Actually, won't get into any details. If you look at it's a cheshbon over there, but if you look at the Rash and Chala and the Maram Chalava, they both seem to learn it's a machlokas and sugyos, and basically don't paskin like the Gemara and Brachos. So if that's true, that would be one way to learn the Yireim.
Doesn't Tosfos of Sachem also assume that the Gemara is
going to change? Maybe also, yeah. So it might be the view of many Rishonim. On the other hand, so that could be one mahalich. What does the Reim actually say? Let's read it inside for a moment. V'chol davish nizbashal o naf ekol tzarko, lachziro b'klirish o mechamimo, o litno b'tzad ha'or, mutter, sh'chol davish nizbashal o naf ekol tzarko, ein ba mishum bishal, sh'ein bishal achar bishal. Aval yesh bishal achar tzli, yesh tzli achar bishal. And what's his raya? Because yotzin birake kasharoi avalo b'mevushal. Good. Now, what would the Ravya do with the Gemara in Psachim? Because the Gemara in Psachim doesn't bring in Tam Matzah. So, probably the simplest way is the Ravya would say the Gemara in Brachos is the Maskana, the Gemara in Psachim. In other words, the Gemara in Psachim is like the Havmi and the Gemara in Brachos. If you look at the Beis Yosef over here by us in Sifhei, he writes that even according to Rabbi Yossi, Tam Bishol is Mevatal the Tzliya by Karban Pesach. That's a Xeris HaKasav, like the Gemara says over there in Reb Meir. In other words, it's an exception. It's an exception. It's Xeris HaKasav by Karban Pesach, because it says Bashel Mevushal, any type of Bishol, even though this really isn't Bishol, Tam Matzah is not transformative. Fine. So that's the way the Rav Yehuda learns the two sugyos is pretty straightforward.
The research, you think that that's what the Gemara means, or did she just say saying, after I follow the Gemara in Brachos, halacha l'maisa, this is how I'm going to understand the halacha of Bashel Mevushal?
I don't know. Not sure. Either way, that's what comes out. But I think it could be what the Gemara means. That's what I was assuming. Okay, so it's basically Xeris HaKasav. What would the Yireim do with the Gemara? Brachos. So we said the first option is he says it's a machlokas, it's a stir and sugyos. Alternatively, you could say that he holds that even though the chisaron is tam matzah, the pshat is because you need lechem oni, and this would be like matzah shira. In other words, the bishul still needs to make a significant change. Tam matzah, if it doesn't undergo a significant change, wouldn't be a reason why it's not tam matzah. So if there's a significant enough change such that now this isn't called tam matzah anymore, so too, that will be enough to make it aser on Shabbos. And this is what Talmid Rabbi Yonah say there in Brachos.
Isn't that what Tosas says himself?
Yeah, yeah. Tosas as well.
Yeah. And does this make the Gemara Shtem, or it's still not focus?
No, I think it could make the Gemara Shtem.
But then why, if that's the Shabbos,
well, I don't remember.
And
I don't remember Tosas enough to answer in Tosas. But let's say Rabbeinu Yonah.
But I mean, why would then, when Gemara says Brachos Tam Matzah,
so shlub brachos,
you, should make a shahar,
you could, but you don't have to. In other words, the point is that there's the Gemara's Havamina was it's either or. The Gemara's Havamina was that if when it comes to brachos, it's only if it's transformed into a new entity. And likewise, that's what we assumed was true with matzah, right? It's because it's a new entity. And so if it's a new entity, right, if the Havamina was basically, if you wish, Yesh Bishalach Arafiyah, right? That's the Havamina, Yesh Bishalach Arafiyah. And if that's the reason why matzah is puzzle, so then Shachos would be Shakol, because it's a new entity, not Hadamah. The Gemara's answer is no, that this is a significant transformation. And therefore, if it's a significant transformation, it's not Tam Matzah. But the bracha will still remain. In other words, it's not something new. The Shem Bishul remains. Sorry, the Shem Yarek, I guess, non-Bishul remains. So therefore, you could have your cake and eat it. But it would still turn out that when it comes to Ochel Shabbos, so we're going to be Machmir. And the idea probably would be like this. If you're going to be Choshesh for, just like Bishalach or Bishal Balach, give a mashal. Right, Bishalach or Bishal Balach, what are we saying? That there is Bishalach or Bishal. We're not saying that you could take the approach that, okay, Azalei Bishulei, it's Kilo, it's Ra, and you're starting from scratch, right? And again, that's sort of the approach of the Rav Yatz, Yesh, either or, right? But what the Yireim is saying, what the Maskana of the Gemara in Brachos is saying is that's not true. That a significant tikkun is enough to be aser on Shabbos, and it's enough to say this doesn't have shem matzah. It goes from matzah niyah to matzah shira. But for brachos, for a change in bracha, it needs to go from hadamah to shakol. It has to be a totally new thing. It has to be kilu azilei shem yarek, and now has a new shame.
Do you think that this fits with the lashon of the Yireim? The Yireim says it's no longer lechem. I mean, matzah lechem, because he didn't think of lechem at all. Offway, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't need to be saying anything about matzah shira. I thought he was learning like Rashi, who doesn't bring in matzah shira.
It doesn't have a shame lechem. Sounds like this is a totally new thing. Maybe, I'm not sure. On the other hand, the Rav Yaz Kasha is a strong Kasha.
The Pnei Yoshua has a read.
Yeah.
That what it means by Tam Matzah Bayim, that it means Tam Lechem Bayim. And then it's really saying exactly what the Yireim wants it to say. That.
Okay, so that's basically, that's what I'm saying, no?
No, but not as a Din and Lechem.
Okay, it's not a Din and Lechem only, it's a Din and Lechem.
Right.
Right, but the point is that what you're saying is that. Okay, so let's say it like this. It's almost like the Taz. In other words, yeah. Option number one, but let's say three options. Option number one, the easiest mahalich is stir and segeos, like the Rash, right? Like the Maram Chalafa. In other words, it's either or. And if you learn like the Gemara in Brachos, then the Yireim is wrong, and the only way for the Yireim to make sense is to reject the Gemara in Brachos. Okay, option two is to say that if there's a halachic change, So then it's a halachic status change. And if you want, we could say that as from a shem lechem to a non-shem lechem. That's enough to make it invalid for matzah. And likewise, that could be enough, conceivably, to make you chayev b'Shabbos, because there's a significant transformation. And option number three, and this is basically the way the Taz says it, is that a significant taste change is enough. And here, what Yoni's pointing out, I think, is that the Lashon of the Ireum maybe is not mashma that way so much, but the Lamdos is that to be chayev, if there's a significant change in taste, then it's not tamatza. Likewise, if there's a significant change in taste, that would be a significant contribution enough to be mechayev you for bishul. But for brachos, since it is what it was, you still keep the hadamah. Right? So those are three ways that you could conceivably be miyashev the two sugyos. The raya for the second pshat, not the raya, but I think this is the mashmos of Rabbeinu Yonah, as I said, in Brachos, it's Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishum deba'inan ta'amatzav alecha, v'teimahu zehalashon, shalom matzinu deba'inan ta'amatzav alelechan oni, fine. And he says the pshat is that it's a hafkas shem lechem oni. So the way you're saying it from the Yeshua, along similar lines, is it's hafkas shem lechem. Right? Okay. So it's the halachic change. And again, the way the Taz says it is it's any significant change. Now, we won't say, you know, a significant change in Shabbos that doesn't have to do with heat isn't going to be bishul. There's a discussion. There's some achronim who declare maybe that the kavosh can vushel, so you should be chai for vushel and shabbos. So we definitely don't accept that. If you understand, Evershit has such a tzad. But we don't accept that. We say no. Even though it doesn't, in mitzias, it transforms the object. But to be vushel, that's to transform the object through heat. Okay. So with that much, we don't accept. But when there is a significant change in taste through heat, that's enough to be machai of you. And that's the pshat in Bishul Achar Afia, and the Simin Ladavar is the fact that you're not Yotze with matzah. I think a Ha'ara, if you learn like that pshat, is why should Mitzdamik V'yafilo be mutter? You have to say it's not enough of a Shinoi. In other words,
maybe the Taz is talking not so different than the second pshat. Maybe the Taz is saying, as long as we have halachic precedent for this chiluk, the Mela that's considered to be.
So then it's a halachic change. Right. So I thought the Taz was trying to say that it's a time change. But if you want to say Mitzamek V'yafalo proves that that's wrong, there's really only one shot that you can say that.
If you're ready to say anything, the test brings proof of Mitzamek V'yafalo, no?
Yeah, but the question is, how does he explain Mitzamek V'yafalo? In other words, why does that make sense? So you have to say for the Taz that a small change is not enough, a big change is enough, and we learn from carbon from matzah that this is a big change. Right? So that seems to be the Mahalach of the Taz. What I'm saying is the difficulty with Mahalach of the Taz is how do you define it? The advantage of the middle pshat, the second pshat, is that there are, when we're talking about halacha, we're not talking about this vague concept of improvement, but we have definitive halachic categories. So here, once we're going to say this vague sort of improvement, right? So then how do you explain mitzdamik v'yafilo? So you have to say, yeah, that's a small improvement, and this is a significant improvement. Well, how do you define small and how do you define big? So what you're saying is, well, we're forced to come back to halachic categories. And this, even the Taz is conceding that point. But I didn't think that's what the Taz sounded like. I thought the Taz more sounded like it's a improvement in taste is enough. But if you're going to say that, then okay, then there's only two mahalchim. Okay. Now, is there nafka mina between these approaches? So if, and also a little bit, you know, it's partial we don't paskin like the Rash. Start with that. Because according to the Rash, you actually shouldn't be making Hadam on Shlakos. Okay. So we don't paskin like that approach. But now the question is, is there a difference between the second and the third approach? So one nafkamina could be toast. Rabbi Willig talks about this in it's on page 38 of the book. Another nafkamina could be, or let's say it out, according to the Taz, maybe it should be usher to make toast on Shabbos. You want to go ahead and you put your you have your plata on. So for Shal Shudas, you can have toast. Great idea. So you'll cut up the challah and you'll put it on the plata. It'll make it into toast. According to the Taz, probably, I don't think we could be makel. There's a significant improvement. But according to, if you hold that's totally in a halachic change, there's no halachic change here. Nobody would say if you took soft matzah and you toasted it, it would be you wouldn't be yotze. Yeah.
Doesn't our willing in the book invoke that sliachar?
Yeah. So we're going to get to that. The Shilta Giborim has this concept that even if there's bishalachar tzli, sliachar bishal is mutter. And the way Rabbi Willig explained that is that it works according to Tosvos that. There's two ways to explain it, but the basic way that Rabbi Willig and Igle Tal say is there's a hierarchy. Sli is the lowest. It only affects in the Tila. I don't really understand it because, and then comes Bishol, and then comes Afia. It's the most chashav because it gives a Taras Lechem. Now we find chashivas like that in terms of Hilchos Brachos. It's a chiddush to apply that to here. What?
How is afia different than
sli? Afia gives it a shame lechem.
Yeah, but I'm saying the process is the same, except one greater than one.
Yeah, higher. But that's the difference. The reason why on a hierarchy it's higher up is because of the shame lechem.
So how do you have sli achar afia? How is that possible?
Who says you have sli achar afia? There's a problem.
Wasn't that a discussion? No.
No, what he's saying is that. I mean, I don't even know if there it makes sense. There's no such thing as tliachar fiyar fiyar chatzli because it's the same physical act. So there's nothing to discuss. But anyway, so the point is, so yes, that's exactly correct. So that's one nafkamina. I was thinking about it. There's another hara, and then I'll tell you another interesting. Something that was fully cooked and is dry. So we know the halacha is it's mutter lanicho kenegra madura b'makom sheyatzu lettuce bo. So the Bir halacha says, isn't that against the Yireim? Because it's tzliachar bishel, right? Because let's say this was fully cooked. It's fully cooked, but cooked. Mevushel, right? And now I'm going to warm it up next to the fire. So that's tzliachar bishel. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch it's mutter, but the Yireim would say it's Aser L'chora, and L'chora were choshes for the Yireim. So that's the kasha of the Bir Halacha. So, and again, it's assuming, like the Magen Avram, that Hu Adin Yesh Tzliachar Bishol. And the Bir Halacha leaves off with a Tzarchia. Right? Now, if you learn like the Taz, L'chora it's not a kasha. Why? Because this isn't, you know, when you go ahead, you take boiled chicken and then you put it next to the fire. It doesn't become barbecue chicken all of a sudden, right? You're not, there's no significant improvement in it. You're just warming it. You're warming it in a method of tzli, but it's just hot boiled chicken. It's not, there's no significant improvement in taste at all. Likewise, if you learn like Rabbi Willig, it's going to make sense because there's no hierarchy here. There's no, so.
What's that last point? There's no hierarchy? You're saying that they'll take you going?
Yeah. The Magen Avraham, the Beis Yosef sounds more like the Magen Avraham. Anyway, according to the Magen Avraham, it would be, you have, if you hold it as Magen Avraham, then there's a lot of practical applications to this. Like, could you put cooked chicken on a plata to warm up? L'chora, it should be a problem, right? according to Rabbi Willett, it would be okay.
Will it pass him like that? Shall take him away? That's the upper official.
Yeah, I think so.
Even though the Urim is the favorite, not that way.
But the Shulchan Aruch is matir, says Tesvav.
No, but then just because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold like the Urim,
you're saying that. So,
one and one.
Very well, it's Cheshbon, I think, is I have to look back, but I think he says the reason why he could be Mekel is because it's going to be Mutter both according to Tosfos and according to the Taz. It's Mutter according to Tosfos because there's no hierarchy, doesn't go up in the hierarchy, and it's Mutter according to the Taz because there's no improvement in taste.
But if you did actually say it would be a problem,
yes. In a Chinami, if there's an improvement, it's only going to be Mutter when you meet both criteria.
Oh.
The Chazon Ish, it's quoted in Dirshu Note 60, says even though we're choshish for the Urim, we're makel on this case because it doesn't get a tam tzli mamish; it just dries out, which is a similar type of approach. I think you know if you learn like the Taz, it makes a lot of sense. Along similar lines, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said you could put a sufganiya on top of a plata to warm up. The sufganiya was originally cooked, halachically. So that is the approach. The Chazon Ish was, we'll leave it there. So going back to toast. So again, toast should be okay if you don't learn like the Taz. Why? Because if you don't learn like the Taz, then nothing's changing. This is a fiyah harafiyah. If you do like the Taz, yesh ladun, maybe there's a significant change. It's sliyah harafiyah, maybe no. It's a fiyah harafiyah. And even if you a fiyah harafiyah is just getting better, but that's not enough. I saw the Dirshu note 61 wants to say it should be Aser because from the Orlet Zion, because it's a Shinoi Hashem. Now, everybody would agree, I think, that you could warm your challah on the plata. In other words, you're not trying to make a Shinoi Hashem, even though it gets crispy on the bottom, let's say. You put your challah on your plata, it starts off with a soft on the bottom and it ends up maybe more crispy or crunchy, that's okay. But if you're making it into toast, so that's where the Orlet Zion thinks that perhaps it should be usser. An interesting question I was thinking along these lines would be melting cheese. So should there be a problem of melting cheese? So cheese in America, unless you get like fancy French cheese, is cooked already. It's pasteurized. So let's assume that there's no issue of bishul in the sense that we would apply ein bishul achar bishul, that's relevant. Would it be molid? I think probably not, because I don't think it's a liquid. It's just softer. I saw Dirshu note 3 quotes poskim that permit melting butter because it's edible in a solid state. So too, softening. You know, softening isn't considered cooking, so cheese would be similar. No, because it's already cooked. Butter is cooked and cheese is cooked.
Right, but then I'm saying...
Don't tell me...
It's mutter because it's mutter. Why do you need to say it's mutter because it's edible before you melt it?
Yeah, no, in a chanami, you don't.
There's lach, comes lach afterwards. That's another problem. It needs to be edible at the beginning.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, so kol shekein for cheese. Good. Now, I was wondering, though, if... So that's why I thought melting cheese should be okay. And this comes up, you know, people want to reheating pasta or putting cheese into onion soup or all sorts of things. So then I thought maybe it's not so pashut because what's the temperature of pasteurizing milk? It says here in my brief Google search that they heat it to 149 degrees. Now that isn't yatza lettuce bo lechumra. So you could still go ahead and reheat your lasagna, because that was already, you know, if you cooked it at 350, it was 350. The fact that it's going to melt would be okay. But you wouldn't necessarily be able for you to put on a non-melted cheese to heat up. I think that would be a problem. Or somebody wanted to know if they could put like mac noodles and put cheese on it and put it into their warming drawer, assuming you put things into a warming drawer, right? So a lot lower, I thought, if your warming drawer is set to 200 degrees, then that would be a problem. We haven't gotten into the temperature yet of Yatzel Edispo, but we'll see. We're choshesh that Yatzel Edispo, we're choshesh in both directions. So let's say we're choshesh for 120 and 160 degrees. So if it's pasteurized to 149 degrees, that would be a problem.
Wouldn't melted cheese get hotter than that?
If you put it in your warming drawer and your warming drawer is set to 200 degrees, so it'll get to 200 degrees. And it never reached 200 degrees. It got up to 149 degrees until now, but never got above that. So melted cheese could be a problem. Okay, so back to here. So those are some of the nafkaminas, maybe toast. And the likes. I think we are makel on that shaila of putting it of putting the cooked chicken onto the plata.
Shouldn't that observation also have enough milk in the pot?
Yes and no. So possibly, I was wondering about that. But by the time you put your milk into the coffee, it's going to be well below 149 degrees. Coffee with milk. So maybe if you put a little tiny bit of creamer in, Kenzain, but it wouldn't be milk with coffee, according to, again, the research that I saw, is even if you start off with really hot water, is about 125 degrees. So if you got it to 149 degrees the first time, whatever it is now, it's going to be then. Okay. But yeah, if you put in a drop of milk into your coffee, then you would. But I think for the most part, people don't put that much in. And especially because, you know, you're starting off in a klisheni. It's already cooled down significantly by the time you get into your urn, you know, let's say your urn is 200 degrees. And then by the time it gets into your mug and then you add the milk, it's going to, you know, go up to 125. It's not going to, very unlikely you're going to get it up past 149. Okay, there's another discussion, which I guess relates to this. Are we machmir for the Urayim in a klisheni? So the Tur says, the Asr litain pas, afilo l'toch klisheni. But the Smak says, yizaher shelo yitain pas, ela b'klisheni. In other words, according to the Tur, there's two chidushim here in this Urayim. Chidush number one is that there's bishalach arfiya. Chiddush number two is that bread is basically considered kali habishal, and we're choshesh for bishal even in a klisheni. Now, the Tur himself didn't paskin that way, but that's the way the Tur understood the Urayim. The Tur himself thought it would be mutter to put it into a klisheni. So if you follow the Urayim, if we're machmir for the Urayim, then you have to figure out, does the Urayim mean to say that everything we have to worry about, or no? Maybe it's dafka bread, because bread is soft, or the like. There, the qualities of the bread make us think that it's likely to be cooked into it, it's kali habishal, but wouldn't be true for everything. In the Urayim that we have in front of us, if you look at the sefer, it sounds like he's machmir, and that seems to be the view also of the Beis Yosef. Bidasa Urayim, even though he didn't have our gear set. The Bar-Ilan one.
The one in the base of Midrash.
But the footnote makes this point on the bottom of the Torah, no?
What the kind of Urayim? Meaning, I didn't know how to read it the way it's printed.
Uh-huh.
It says that don't put an L of the cliche, which sounds like the smack, but like it's very hard to read that because like the line before he says, and after I just finished telling you that there are things which are klisheni, the only thing you should put this is like.
So what is, how does the Karnei Reim
mean? I think he says, and the Smak Taka says that it shouldn't be Ela, it should be Af.
Right. That's the way the Beis Yosef reads it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Magen Avram, as well as the Mishnah Berurah, Sefkatan Mem Beis, basically seem to adopt the Machmir view and say that anything, unless we know that this is not Kalei Habishul, we're concerned it is Kalei Habishul. Chazanish, Nun Beis Yotes, not so Machmir. For things that look like they might be Kalei Habishul, because they're Kalim Lizbashel, like bread or an egg or something like that, okay, then you have to be Choshesh. But Stam things, not. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sifhei says, Yesh Misha Omer, Didavar She'Nafa, O Nitzla, Imbishlu, Acharkach, B'mashke, Yesh Bo Misha Bishul, V'asa Litein, Pas Afil V'Klisheni, Shayatza Lettuce Bo. So that's the Yireim, V'yesh Matirim. Unclear what Yesh Matirim means. Does that mean Yesh Matirim in a Klisheni, or Yesh Matirim entirely, right? The Ramah is going to be clearer, but within the Mechaber's view, if you look at the Nefarshim and Shulchan Aruch, it's already unclear. But that's what the Mechaber writes. So he's not Machriya. Hagah b'klisheni. So the Ramah says that the Matirin are Matin b'klisheni. B'yesh makil and afilu kri. Rishon v'nagu izar l'chatchila shalalitein pas afilu b'klisheni kolzman shayad zoladis bo. So the Ramah writes, L'chatchila, you should be machmir for pas. As we said before, the Chazon Ish thinks maybe dafka something like pas, but the Mishnah Berurah is more note to l'achmir. Okay, so it's better to be machmir. So does that mean, so what does that mean for us l'maisa? So soup nuts are okay. Soup nuts are deep fried. So they're cooked already, so it's not a shayla. What about putting bread? Happens to be most of the time, by the time you get your soup, I think it's less than the atzah lettuce bow. You have to be very efficient to get soup to people's in front of them while it's still yatzah lettuce bow. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that you could be makel even if it is yatzah lettuce bow by a kli shlishi. Now, interesting thing here, which I guess we'll have to get back to, is here the Mishnah Berurah seems to be makel that we're not worried about the ladle. Meaning to say that we treat soup in a bowl as a kli shlishi, and which means that we treat the ladle as the kli sheni. So the pot is the kli rishon, ladle is a kli sheni, and the bowl is a kli shlishi. Elsewhere, I think in Sifkatan Pei Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah is machmir, it would seem, for Shita Samaril or the Taz or the like. So Bezrus Hashem will get back to that stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Why is he makel over here and machmir over there? So that's why Lemaisa, the Pashto says you could be makel to put matzah in your soup and challah in your soup, because your soup is going to be a kli shlishi. And anyway, it's probably not yatzah lettuce bowl, but even if it is, there's room to be makel. Okay, so we'll stop here. And as I said, next time, Bezrus Hashem, we're going to work on kli rishon, kli sheni, the Marshal, the Yushalmis, also Marshal and the like. Take a look. If you want to work on this Yushalmi, so the Gra, there's basically three Mahalchim in the Yushalmi. Read the Gra very carefully on our Simon. But if you want to look back at the Gra on Yerodea, Simon Kofhei, he also works a lot on this Yushalmi. He takes you through each step of the Yushalmi, line by line reading. It's very Gishmak.